Drive with Mike Wills, in for John Matham.
On Cape Talk.
NPA very much in the news this week with the departure of a key figure in the process, and also an appearance today by Shamila Batoy in front of a parliamentary committee. A lot of impatience demonstrated with MPs with Batoy and her department, and the fact she's been in the job for nearly 3 years and as yet no progress either on state capture issues or apartheid era cases. Now, there are two separate spaces here that she has to deal with. Let's speak now to expert legal journalist on News 24, Karen Maughan. Karen, a very good afternoon to you. Shamila Batoy is having a rough time of it.
Yes, I mean, we saw on Monday concerted efforts by her and her team to convince the South African public that there was, quote unquote, not a crisis in the NPA. She continued very much in that vein today, but certainly some of the MPs not particularly convinced and definitely not satisfied with the level of explanation that's been offered so far for the exit of the investigating directorate head, Hermione Cornier. Certainly Glynis Breitenbach, a former prosecutor herself, saying that she regarded Hermione Cornier as quite a strong and capable person who would not simply relinquish a project that she'd been working on for quite a number of years, over 2.5 years now, simply out of nowhere. At one point, Batoy admitting that while there was personal conflict between the two of them, this could not be given as the sole basis or a reason for why Cornier had departed in the way that she had.
What's your take on it? Do you have any insight into why she's left? And is there too much focus on a person leaving? People do leave. There are personality clashes. That happens in any organization.
I think the fact of the matter is that Hermione Cornier is immensely, immensely, immensely passionate about taking on corruption. And I mean, anyone who's seen her in Parliament, engaged with her in press briefings, knows the kind of work she's done, been following the kind of court applications that the ID has pushed for, knows that she cares immensely about her work. But she did, when she was in Parliament last time, they vocalized a lot of frustrations that were referred to by ACDP MP Steve Swart today, in terms of capacity, lack of skilled prosecutors to take matters to court, resourcing issues, the lack of the deficits for forensic capability within the public service. There have been a lot of frustrations in terms of the ID getting a building. It's only recently got that building in September. So I think the overwhelming impression is that this wasn't something that she necessarily wanted to do, but it was born out of frustration. And that issue of frustration is something that the NPA has to deal with because it speaks to wider systemic problems within that organization.
Article today by Natasha Marion in Business Live, which I referred to earlier on the show, saying she feels Shamila Batoy is entitled to more time, that 3 years is not long enough to rebuild what was essentially a destroyed institution. So that if you want to rebuild capacity, the skilled prosecutors, you're also reliant on police work that hasn't yet sorted itself out. Is that a fair perspective?
I think the fact of the matter is that complex crime and corruption is immensely difficult to prosecute. You can't build a case, for example, in an Enron-type situation in a matter of months. But there are easy wins for the NPA. And for reasons that we simply don't understand at this point, they're not taking them. I go again and again to the example of the insider trading case that could very easily be lodged against Marcus Yuster for what occurred at Steinhoff. A finding of that nature has already been made against him. And there seems to be very concrete evidence that, he can be put on trial on a prima facie basis on that particular case. We saw a huge level of dragging of feet when it came to the very obvious criminal contempt committed by former President Jacob Zuma against the commission, Judy Mieni naming a witness. There's been no moves on those cases. So these are simple exercises where you're showing the public that if people don't toe the line in terms of rule of law, there are immediate and effective consequences. And for whatever reason, the NPA isn't taking those victories. I think a lot of, certainly Glynis Breitenbach and other commentators have pointed out that the NPA sometimes appears to be overwhelmed by the level of, the wanting to bring these huge mammoth state capture cases, the Brian Tlongwa case, for example, 258 charges. And those are immensely difficult to prosecute. So there is a thinking amongst many people that I've spoken to that the NPA simply needs to focus on three or four charges that it can win, get those in court, get convictions, and start sending people to prison.
That's long been an argument of mine. The minute I see 30, 40, 50, 100 charges, I know there's going to be difficulty. We're going to have an extended case. You're trying to do too much. I've always believed in picking the obvious case and making that and leaving the rest aside. I would agree with that assessment. One other thing, Karen, I mean, she's dealing in two paths here. She's got state capture issues, corruption issues, and then she's got apartheid era crimes, TRC, and people are on a case about that. Presumably, she would ideally think, I must concentrate on state capture, but people are not letting up on pressure on apartheid-era cases.
The difficulty with the apartheid-era cases is there is concrete evidence that has resulted in a finding by not only the High Court, but the Supreme Court of Appeal, that certainly from the Mbeki administration, there was concrete interference in the prosecution of apartheid-era crimes. We know that the former NPA has Lucy Pikoli has gone on record to say that part of the reason he believes he was removed from office was because he tried to push for the prosecution of those crimes. So the court, the SCA, now endorsing an order that the NPA has to have a public inquiry into why those cases were shut down. Shamila Batoy referencing that today and saying, look, you know, we can't be blamed for what happened before. But unfortunately, you know, for those family members, they feel very aggrieved that it has taken so long for these cases to be finalized. But in all honesty, Mike, I honestly believe that given the fact that the Craddock 4 families are pushing the NPA to make a decision so that they could potentially pursue their own private prosecution, one has to wonder why the NPA is simply not saying, look, we do not have capacity for this. We know there are organizations that are passionate about these cases that wish to mount private prosecutions if that is available to them. We will therefore close these cases, nolly these cases, and put it in the hands of those organizations to do it. Much as I would argue they should be doing in terms of some of these huge PRASA kind of complex commercial crime matters with firms like Worksmans have done massive levels of work, but the NPA and Hawks have done absolutely nothing with it. It's time for the NPA to draw a line in the sand and say, this is what we're capable of, this is what we can't do, and put that in the hands of private prosecutors.
Karen, thanks as always for an excellent explanation of what's going on with the NPA. Shamila Batoy has a tough job. I'm not going to sit here and throw peanuts at her. She took it on. I doubt she really wanted to do it. She saw it, as I understand it, as her national duty to do it. And she wants to build on solid foundations. And she's taking time to build those foundations. But Karen's got an excellent point. Take the easy wins. Take the easy wins. Don't necessarily go for the big omnibus bang prosecutions. Get some easy wins in the pocket on the apartheid era stuff. Again, pick one or two, do them, and the ones you can't, make it very clear that you can't, and leave others to pursue private prosecutions. Don't keep all the doors open, and don't keep too many pots on the stove, or don't keep whatever metaphor you want to use. Trying to do too much.